baby. We're doing this live, and we're doing it so live that we are mid equipment setup doing this with Tom Luganbill from ESPN and ACC Network. Oh yeah, we're live. This is live radio, baby. Live radio. Absolutely. We're doing it seat of our pants, man. You know who I blame for this, and I really do. Kelly Gramlich and Eric McLean stopped me on the way in, got me all out of my process. See, Luganbill says that we needed to get a fourth headset. When EMAC breaks the one, we need a backup headset. There we go. Now we've got Luganbill set up for us here on the program. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know Eric McLean. You understand what we deal with now.
Yeah, he's got banana stalks for hands.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, good to be here, guys.
Absolutely.
That's
go
so
ahead,
funny.
Facts.
I hear you guys talking on this thing, and you're live, and you're trying to work through it, man. I can't tell you how many times I've been doing college football live from my home in my little home office, and the Amazon guy comes, and the dogs lose their mind, and it's live TV, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. 2 years ago, I had a little puppy, and he got into my office, and he crawled under my desk, and he jumped up between my desk and my chest and put his paws right on my chest on a live shot. And I'm like, well, this is what happens when we don't go to studios anymore and we're doing stuff from home. So when I walked over here and saw you guys scrambling for the headset, I've been there, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the beauty. It's the beauty of doing it
live.
And, you know, you obviously get a lot of unique experiences to do big-time games and cover big-time teams live. So let's talk a little bit about last season and just what some of the highlights were for you in a star-studded campaign.
You know, I go back to the very, very beginning of the season, and I think over the – and not just last year, but I think over the last, you know, 7 to 10 years, how big, like, those – week zero and week matchups have been one matchups where, you know, and I bring that up because Miami and Notre Dame, for example, right? Those games have been such a pivotal part of college football. They get everybody excited, right? You get big matchups, the whole nine yards. And when it came down to it, the committee had to make a decision on whether head-to-head mattered. And fortunately, they made the right decision. But had they not made that right decision, who in their right mind in college football would play in a big week zero, week one game going forward, knowing that if they win the game, it might not matter?
Yeah.
Right? So thank goodness that happened to start it off, right? But I thought it was, you know, you think you go getting later the season and you've got the whole Lane Kiffin saga and you've got, you know, the college football playoff. You got this conference, which ended up having Duke win the ACC championship over a Cinderella, you know, storied season for Virginia, which was a lot of fun. And we're all still waiting to figure out what the heck Florida State's doing, right? Where's Clemson going to be? You know, is Miami going to fall victim to their press clippings? Are they going to rise to the occasion? And then I think, you know, on a national perspective, because I always look, you know, 10, 15, well, not even 10, 7 to 10 years ago, you know, it used to be when you came into the season, you go right into this magazine you got right here, and you look at the two deep, and you look at all this, and it's all the same guys, right?
Yep.
Unless they graduated or went to the NFL, it's all the same guys. So you had a pretty decent idea. Okay, this team's got a pretty good nucleus. It could be pretty good. Well, now we look at every team, and we're trying to prognosticate, and there's a 45-man roster turnover. And you can collect talent all you want, but collecting talent and figuring out if you're going to be a good team, that's two different things. And you may not know that until you're 2 to 3 weeks into the season. And I think we saw that with a lot of teams last year kind of figuring out, okay, now we're starting to come together as a locker room. But that is hard now, and it didn't used to be that way. You know, and it's just like James Franklin at Virginia Tech. No, it used to be when you took over a job, more than likely you took it over because the predecessor wasn't successful. But when you took the job over, you inherited that whole team, whether you wanted them or not. Now, you might run off some guys and this and that and blah, 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 but outside of the recruiting class you brought in, you were playing with that same 3-9 team. Now you don't have to do that anymore. And so, again, that makes it so much more difficult to get a true idea of how good anybody's going to be.
It's very interesting because you bring up sort of the way things have changed the last decade or so. 10 years ago, I started coming to this thing, and it was – we've had a lot of years where it's Florida State and who else?
Yeah.
Clemson and who else? Is it Miami and who else, or is it a more open conversation as you look at the top of this league this year?
I think if you're looking at roster profile and talent, it's Miami and possibly everybody else. Because I think Miami – has done one of the better jobs in this transfer portal era. It used to be, and back up for a second, it used to be when you were just recruiting high school athletes, you would identify, evaluate, recruit, sign, develop. Now, you identify, evaluate, recruit, sign, hope to God you retain them. That's what it is now, right? Yeah.
And try to develop in the meantime, somewhere.
Correct. That's where Miami's hit the mark. Because when you look, whether it was Reuben Bain, O.J. Frederic, Mark Fletcher, Francis Maui-Noah, Malachi Toney, I could go up and down that roster. All of those guys were high school signees, right? They weren't transfers. So what they've done is they've been able to maintain a very talented, developed foundational base and then supplement it with incoming transfer portal guys, and then they've hit the mark at the quarterback spot. Yeah. If you hit the mark at that spot, you've eliminated what are perceived other problems, because if you don't make that correct decision, you're in deep water.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most important position in sports, and they
period.
Quarterbacks deserve to have that billing because of you're checking at the line of scrimmage on every play. You got to know the protections. You have to know everybody's role.
Think about this with Miami. Just think. Imagine if they hadn't been able to pull off the Darian Mensa acquisition, who they'd be playing with at quarterback. Emory Williams is already in the portal. He's at East Carolina.
Yep.
They likely would have been playing with a true freshman. Now think about, like, that's this end of the spectrum and that end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a season-saving acquisition.
And it was a buzzer beater.
Oh, my goodness, at the 12th hour.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this one, because you're a talent guy. I mean, that's you cut your teeth doing talent. Clemson. Let's talk Clemson as an example.
Yeah.
You go into the portal for a few guys.
Yeah.
That's a roster you can pretty much go on your talent evaluation of high school.
Yeah.
So where are you on Clemson's roster? Maybe not even looking at like 5 years ago, which we like to do, but just like maybe year over year.
I still think they've got really, really good players. And they've been able to identify and recruit players, develop them. And those players, by and large, haven't left. Most of them have stuck around and they stayed within the program. So they have that kind of foundational process I was talking about. But I go back to the quarterback position because, first of all, it's hard to hit on one, right? People, like, sometimes forget that they had, like, a nine-year stretch where they nailed the quarterback position. So it started with Taj Boyd. Then you had Deshaun, right? And then you can even count the year with Kelly Bryant.
Yeah.
All right? And then Trevor Lawrence. And then they finally missed. And when did all the issues start happening?
Right then.
Right then and there. And you could argue that, you know, Cade Klubnik had a marginal career, you know, as it relates to expectation level. So when you look at them this offseason, because you're right, they've dipped into the portal, and I like how they've been very selective. I think that's what you should do. And I think if you got a great player on your team, instead of going out of the market and bringing in an unknown, reinvest in that guy, right, to keep him, right, if you want to keep him. But you got to imagine that Dabo and Chad Morris – had some serious conversations. And those conversations cannot be taken lightly. Because when you're talking about the quarterback position, and I have talked to a lot of coaches this past offseason that did not think the quarterback portal class was very good. So now you got to ask yourself the question. Is the guy out there better than the guy that we played three or four games with that we liked, showed us enough of a sample size? Do we stick with what we have here and continue to develop him? Or do we go get somebody that we might think is good? Maybe there's not somebody out there that we think is better. And those decisions are heavy decisions because they got to get that position right. So if they think Chris Vezina is the answer, which they obviously did because they stuck with him. And they got Tate Reynolds coming in as a freshman. I think they really like him. I think he's going to be a really good player. He could be a long-term answer for them. But if they get the quarterback position right, the best thing that's happening to Clemson right now is nobody's talking about him. When's the last time nobody was talking about Clemson having a great team?
It's
really been a while.
Might be the best thing. Sometimes when nobody's talking about you and you're just cruising and, you know, under the current, ends up being the best thing for building a team.
Well, Tom, you hit on something there with the word retention and bringing guys back, and I think that that is the most underrated part of Clemson's offseason was the wins that you had in retention.
Yeah.
T.J. Moore, Bryant Wesco Jr., a really talented nucleus of tight ends with OPH and Betancourt and Logan Brooking, more freshmen coming in. There was criticism of the Tigers, you know, from a national and a local standpoint for not getting an offensive lineman in the transfer portal, but that wraps back to your point where the portal can kind of be volatile, and there's not always a guarantee that a player at a position that is good enough to help your team is going to enter it, and then even if they do, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to afford that.
Yeah.
I think Clemson had a lot of retention wins that might help mitigate some of the lack of offensive additions in the transfer
portal. Yeah, and I think the one addition they had through the portal, and Chris Johnson Jr., is a Chad Morris X factor. Like, he is going to – that guy is electrifying, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that one was important. But you're right. They went out and they said, okay, these guys are important to the health of this program. Let's invest in them. Now, the thing that I think Dabo Swinney and most coaches worry about the most in the transfer portal is, are you going out and getting somebody that fits your climate, your locker room, your culture? Are they going to be a coach killer in the locker room? Are they going to be a problem? Like, you got to avoid that. And you may not always know that answer. So there's risk there. I remember Nick Saban 2 years ago on his very first college game day appearance, and they were in Dublin. It's Florida State, Georgia Tech. And they happened to be talking about Ohio State that year. And Ohio State had gone and really spent. And, you know, they brought in Caleb Downs and a variety of other guys. And Nick Saban goes, you know what? You can pay all the guys all the money you want, but if you pay the wrong ones, you're SOL.
Yep.
And it is 100% true, and it's the biggest fear of every coach in America. Because if you go get a great player and he comes in and all of a sudden he's like, oh, I just got paid a lot of money. Why do I need to play?
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know, man. There's no guarantees in this.
It's the concept of being tied to a bad contract in pro sports for years. You've got that now in collegiate athletics, and if you invest at the wrong positions, it could cost you your whole season.
Absolutely.
Tom, appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We're getting the signal, but thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we are. Hey, we could do this forever. We'll have you on again.
Thanks very much.
We'll definitely never kick you off. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so much.